Well, greetings, my friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And welcome to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel, a Christ-exalting program dedicated to presenting the claims of God's Son as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Well, friends, I'm grateful to God again today for this privilege I have of raising high the blood-stained banner of God's Son. And I thank God that I'm sheltered beneath that precious blood today, for it's the blood that cleanseth from all sin. But tell me, friend, what does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Are you sheltered by the blood of God's Son? Or perhaps you're like so many people today, you don't have time to think about eternity and where your soul will be after you die. You know, it grieves me when I think of poor souls passing out into eternity at the rate of 90 every minute, 5,400 every hour, 130,000 every day, and over 47 million every year. And sad to say, most of them go down to a lost eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Yes, most people who are accountable to God for their sin go down to hell with all its torment and pain and anguish. Over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Friend, as you sit in the comfort of your home or automobile today listening to this program, ask yourself the questions in the fear of God alone. Where would my soul be right now? If my heart stopped beating this moment, where would my soul spend eternity? Well, friend, these are most solemn questions, are they not? Yes, and in Isaiah 33 and verse 14, we read two more solemn questions. Listen to these. "Who among us shall dwell in the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burning?" Now, let's get the program moving along with the first hymn today, and it's entitled, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story."
Jesus and His
love.
Well, friends, I thank God today that I have another opportunity and privilege of telling the old, old story. And I can say like the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile." Friends, I've been telling the old, old story since I've been saved back in 1952. And on March the 4th of 1956, I began broadcasting the gospel by means of radio, and I've been seeking to be faithful to God down through the years. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy grace, Thy love, and Thy mercy expressed in Thy Son. And Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be written, spoken from today. We claim Thy promise that it shall not return void. May Thy Holy Spirit take the word and bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of sinners tuned our way today. We'll be so careful to give Thee all the honor, the praise, and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, before getting into the message today, let's listen to another old-fashioned tune, and it's entitled, "Send the Light."
There's a call comes ringing over the restless waves. Send the light,
send the light.
There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light,
send the light,
send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light,
send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
And the golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light,
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 the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to
shore.
Send the light,
the
blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Care to follow me in the scriptures I'll be reading today from the 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 18, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, every once in a while I'm asked the question, why are you interested in radio broadcasting? And why do you preach the gospel over the air? I know when I was a professor and dean of engineering at the University of Pittsburgh, many a professional colleague would say, Mr. Hawk, why don't you mind your own business and let people believe what they've been brought up to believe? After all, they have their ideas and you have yours. Well, friend, if every preacher and priest were born again children of God and fulfilling their responsibility to both God and man, there would be little or no need for me having this Voice of the Gospel program. Ah, listen, my friend. You know as well as I do that most preachers and priests have never been saved by sovereign grace, and therefore it's a case of the blind leading the blind. Yes, they're giving their congregations religion, but no Christ. They're giving them reformation, but no Christ. They're giving them religious ritual, but no Christ. Friend, they're giving them cute little essays and discourses on morals, ethics, culture, politics, economics, current events, but they're not presenting Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. But listen, friend, I thank God for the few faithful servants of Christ who shun not to declare the whole counsel of God. Yes, I praise the Lord for every blood-washed preacher who doesn't water down the gospel to suit his congregation. And I thank God for every born-again Bible preacher who calls sin, sin, and who not only tells of God's love, but also brings before the sinner the result of rejecting that love, which is simply hell and the lake of fire. Now, friends, today, I want to give five reasons found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for me preaching the gospel. Of course, there are many more reasons than five for preaching the gospel, but I just want to bring these several reasons before you that we find in this one chapter alone. Now, the first reason why I'm preaching the gospel today is found in our text, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There we read these words, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, this entire book was written by a Christian to a group of Christians at Corinth. And the Apostle Paul uses the pronoun we 26 times in this one short chapter. Yes, he was only speaking to those who were saved. So we see at the outset that only Christians will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Sinner friend, the reason I plead with you to accept my Savior, Jesus Christ is your Savior too, is simply because I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. I've got to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday, and I've got to give an account of every word, every thought, and every deed since I've been saved. In addition to that, I've also got to give an account for everything I didn't do that I should have done. And friends, I don't want to stand before my Savior at the judgment seat and be reminded of my failure to tell sinners that they need to be saved. I want to be innocent of the souls of men. I want to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ with a clear conscience regarding my responsibility of warning sinners to flee from the wrath to come. Listen, my friend, you who heard this program time after time, and who've been made uncomfortable by the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, you'll never be able to say that I wasn't faithful in seeking to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I've sought, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God and through God's Word, to show you your lost and depraved condition in the sight of a holy God. And I've told you how you could become a child of God by simply trusting in the finished work of God's Son. But friend, that's as far as I can go with you. My responsibility ends when I preach the gospel and pray for your soul's salvation. The rest is up to you and the Holy Spirit of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And if God doesn't work in your heart and soul, you'll never be saved. No, I can't do a thing to save your soul. I'm only a poor gospel preacher with a sincere, heartfelt desire to see you saved before it's eternally too late. And again I say, one of the reasons I'm here today with the truth of God's salvation through faith in His Son is simply because I'm a steward of the manifold grace of God, and someday soon, at the judgment seat of Christ, I've got to give an account of my stewardship. Yes, I can say like the Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So that's it, friend. That's why I'm telling you today to acknowledge your sinnership in God's sight and place your trust in the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin. Now then, the second reason why I preach the gospel is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. In verse 11 we read, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Did you hear that, sinner friend? The Apostle Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Friends, if there were no judgment for sin, if there were no wrath of God, if there were no hell and lake of fire awaiting the Christ rejecter, well, friends, I wouldn't be preaching the gospel over the air today. No, I wouldn't be seeking to point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ if the alternative to salvation were not revealed in the Word of God. But friend, listen, it is revealed. Yes, God very clearly brings before us the consequences of a sinner refusing His offer of mercy, love, and grace, which were manifested in Jesus Christ. Over in Job 36 and verse 18 we read, because there is wrath, beware, lest He takes thee away with His stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Again in John 3 and 36 God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen, sinner friend, if the wages of sin were not spiritual death and separation from God, the Lord Jesus Christ would never have suffered, bled, and died on the old rugged cross. And furthermore, you may allow the devil to blind your mind regarding the reality of hell, but friend, your spiritual blindness or disregard for God's Word will in no way detract from the God-given fact that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Yes, you can deny the Bible, you can deny the virgin birth, you can deny the existence of the lake of fire, but sinner friend, listen, 5 seconds after you pass out of time into eternity, you'll change your mind, but it'll be too late then. Your day of grace will have ceased to exist, and you'll be doomed and damned throughout the countless ages of all eternity. Now then, the third reason why I preach the gospel is found in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There we read these words, the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us. Friend, the preaching of the cross and the salvation of sinners brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time I preach the gospel, I do so because I want to be faithful to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, I love Jesus Christ today because He first loved me. In 1 John 4 and verse 10 we're told, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Sinner friend, I can honestly say from the depths of my heart and soul today that I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because He first loved me. Why? Because He died on the cross for my sin. Why? Because someday soon, perhaps today, He's going to come back and take me home to the house of many mansions in heaven above and the place which He Himself has prepared for them that love Him. Now then, you who are unsaved listening in today, do you realize that God loves you? Do you, my friend? Well, He does. Yes, and He proved that love by sending His Son into the world to die on the cross for your sin. In Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, we're told that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And then I think of the best known verse in the Bible, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sinner friend, that's the gospel. That's the glad tidings, the good news that God has for every sinner in the world today. Yes, even though God hates sin with an infinite hatred, nevertheless, he loves the sinner with an infinite love. And that's the reason he has caused you to listen to the broadcast today. He wants you to acknowledge your need of a Savior. And then by faith alone, apart from self-righteousness or religious ritual, he wants you to simply trust his Son, Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior. Now the fourth reason why I preach the gospel is found in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. There God declares that because I've been reconciled to God through faith in his Son, he has in turn committed unto me the word and ministry of reconciliation. Now you who are listening in today who've never been saved, God tells us in Isaiah 59 and 2 that your sins and iniquities are separating you from God. And the only way you can be reconciled or brought back to a position of favor with God is through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He's the one who has met the claims of God against sin. He's the one and only one who has paid the price for your redemption. And that price, my friend, was his precious blood, which he shed for your sin on Calvary's cruel cross. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, we're told, we're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, in 1 John 1 and 7, we read, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now then, for our fifth and final reason for preaching the gospel, I read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, that where God says that Christians who are saved, of course, have been commissioned to tell forth the wonderful grace of God. Yes, he wants us to seek to lead others to the Savior. He expects us as ambassadors for Christ to speak well of our homeland, which is heaven too. Not only, friend, does an ambassador speak well of his homeland, but he always speaks well of his monarch. And so it is with a Christian. We too should speak highly of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should, at every opportunity, present the claims of God's Son as the Savior of sinful men. And even though the sinner rebels, rejects, and neglects God's salvation, the task is yet before us. Preach the Word. Preach Christ. Tell how God provided his only Son to bear away the sin of the world. Tell how Jesus Christ was the just one, dying for we the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. Yes, tell the sin-sick world how they can escape the terrible wrath of God by closing in with the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how I wish that every one of you listening in today were saved and born again. How I wish I could present the person of Jesus Christ in such a way that you'd be overwhelmed by his love divine. Yes, I can say like the songwriter, I wish you knew my Savior and love him as I do, for if you knew my Savior, then you would love him too. Sinner friend, you may be the worst sinner in the world today, but God still loves you, and he's willing to forgive you of your sin, and he's willing to receive you into his family if you'll repent of your sin and trust his Son as your Savior. And furthermore, Jesus Christ declares in John 6 and 37 that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now perhaps I'm speaking to someone out in Radio Land today, and you've been a professing Christian for many, many years, and yet you know down deep in your heart that there's something wrong. Perhaps you've only got a head knowledge of salvation, and you know, and only you know, that down deep in your heart and soul, there's something wrong. You've never been convicted of your sin, and therefore you can't possibly become a child of God, because only those who've been convicted are candidates for God's salvation. Remember this, sinner friend. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of Christ. Friend, if you've never experienced conviction, then you can be sure of one thing. You're not saved. You've never been born again through faith in the blood of Christ. You've only got a head knowledge of salvation. So, friend, why not surrender your heart to Jesus Christ right now? Tell him you've played the fool long enough. Let the language of your heart be, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, don't let a false profession or false pride take you down into hell. Just throw yourself upon the mercy of God. Trust his Son as your own and personal Savior right now. Claim the promise of eternal salvation through faith in the blood of Christ. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in Jesus' name, we come to thee to thank thee again for him. We thank thee for the value and the virtue of his finished work at Calvary. We pray thy blessing upon thy word that has just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And that zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.